That's right, everybody. We have theme music. And I'm going to turn it down a little bit. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here with Michael Brazemley. Dude, I got this little dial on my soundboard, and I can fade it down. I can bring it back in. Dude. All right, let me just turn that all the way down here. Okay, so with that behind us, hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. That is an experiment I will work on. I got an offer of somebody to make theme music for me. That one I just stole off the internet. If you're wondering what that is Jake One is the name of the artist, and that is the Trap Door. The song is called Trap Door, and this is the instrumental version. And I absolutely love this song. But it's not what we're here for. It's just a new toy, and I'm excited about it. I had this soundboard for a while, and I finally like plugged a bunch of stuff into it. And it, dude, total game changer. But anyway, more important to you guys, I have a special guest here today. I don't know if you're a special guest anymore. You're a frequent guest, essentially the co-host. Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Yep, that is Michael, and that's who you're really here to hear from, because he is the expert. He knows, he's a lot more knowledgeable than I am, and so it's always great to have Michael in studio.
Well, I don't know. I think Alan's getting more knowledge than me on some things.
Well, yeah, we bring different knowledge. Yeah. You know, I have classroom knowledge, you have steward knowledge, and it's a good base to, you know, have this broad range.
And two opinions is nice too.
Yeah, yeah, that is, because we don't always agree on things.
Yep.
Yeah, like Mike has this controversial take on whether CCA should be allowed to be 204Bs.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll really get into it.
They can't take a higher detail. That's all I know.
Well, there you go. See, there's merit to what Michael is saying. There's no question about it. All right. So anyway, what we really want to talk about, what we're excited about is, Mike, what was the big good news we got yesterday?
We got the vote saying hell no.
That's right.
To the tentative agreement.
Yep. Not just no, hell no. It came out about 70% no to 30% yes on the tentative agreement.
Yeah, about 64,000 votes to 26,000 votes.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Right around the same percentage of people who voted to redo our election at our branch, yeah. which we'll talk about in a little while. Guess what, everybody? It's going very smoothly and everything's perfect. No, that's not the case. Yeah, so we'll get to that as well. But first, with the tentative agreement, so what happens next, Michael? What's the next topic?
It's going to arbitration, and it's a three-person arbitration, one for the post office, one for the NALC, and one that's neutral. So it'll be a three-people arbitration.
Right, exactly. And for the NALC, we will also have attorneys who are making these arguments for us, and hopefully they do a little bit better job than Brian Renfro did.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Is our tentative agreement was so bad, so most likely they're going to be just fighting on money, on wages. Right. So as long as we get hopefully a better wage and then get rid of what he was trying to agree on tentative agreement, then I'm actually fine with it.
Right. Yeah, that's – let's set the expectations here. So how much higher of a wage increase are we going to get? We really have no way to know, but yeah. I can't imagine it being any smaller.
Right.
So maybe we get 2% three times or maybe 1.5. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, the big thing is that when we went on strike back in 1970, it was only 4.3%, and we went on strike. This is only 1.3.
Right, and where the wages were then in terms of buying power, our wages are there or lower now for our employees. Yeah, so that drove us to the strike before.
Right. Yep.
Exactly. So
give some example is that our median income for national is $80,000. And then our highest pay is $75,000 currently. And
How is the median pay higher than the...
Exactly. When we're supposed to have because of our Postal Reform Act,
okay,
that actually said that we are supposed to have a competing median income wage.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, like the median household income in the United States.
We're below that. Right. And then not only that, if you look at UPS and FedEx and what their highest pay is and their worst starting wages, we're lower than them too.
Right. And even from today's headlines, Costco now is having almost all their employees at $30 an hour.
To start.
Yeah, to start.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So we've got a long way to go to be competitive with that. Mm-hmm. And then we go with, you know, if we reference the things that Renfro has said in the past about eliminating CCAs, and then CCAs only for a year, and then CCAs getting $30 an hour, it'd be nice if at least some of that came to fruition.
Right. Because there were so many bats in the tenant agreement that I don't think any of that's going to go through on this one. Hopefully, at least the wage. And then in the 2026 election, hopefully Brian Renfro will be elected out.
The way
The new ones come in and they're going to kick ass for
us. Yeah, buddy. The CLC coming. So the way this vote went, you know, this is kind of a bellwether for what is the status of our reform move. Because we know we have this loud and vocal base of people like me who are complaining on their podcast. We need change and we need this and we need that. Not just complaining because we're actually offering solutions. But regardless, you know, we have this very vocal percentage of our union, but we really had no idea how big it was, how much discontent there was spread throughout the union. And so this vote was a tangible way to measure that. And it looks like we are not the only ones who are dissatisfied with the way our union is currently being run.
And remember what I said about waking up the giant?
The sleeping giant. The sleeping giant. Absolutely.
I think they're waking up.
Yep, no doubt.
Yep.
Yeah, because we had significantly higher turnout than there was in previous ratification agreements or previous votes on the tentative agreement. And, you know, obviously went 70% no, which is essentially unprecedented. And dude, Renfro said it was going to be historic. Mission accomplished. That's historic.
Definitely.
Yep. So going forward, you know, for me, I wouldn't mind if, like, I'd like to see the volunteer to break the 12 and 60 violations. I'd like to see that taken out of the tentative agreement after it goes to the arbitrator. You know, we can let that go. That feels more to me like a concession to management.
Like majority, about 95% of that was in the tentative agreement. Terrible.
Right.
So if they agreed not to use any of it,
I'm
okay with that.
Yeah, right. There were steps backward in this tentative agreement.
Yeah, just like using annual leave for when people get 16-7, that is terrible. You know management's going to abuse that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had people on here who've talked about why that's a problem. We've had people talk to us in private about why that's a big problem. And yeah, the problems obviously with the tentative agreement are multifold. For me, still the most important thing is I'd like to see our new hires get taken care of a little bit better. See the CCA, I mean, not a little bit better. I'd like to see them getting taken care of a lot better. I would settle for a 1.3% raise for me if it meant a 20% raise for a new CCA, or hell, a 50% raise, that would get them up to that $30 an hour. So, you know, we'll see. It's out of our hands at this point. We did what we needed to do.
I can tell you what I want.
Go for it.
I want us to be over $100,000.
Oh, at the top end?
At the top end.
That'd be nice.
CCA starting at $30 an hour.
Yeah, sure. Okay. That would be nice. I don't know that that's realistic.
But technically, that is, we're supposed to be above median income, which is only 20,000 more than above.
And comparable and then 80,000 to other.
Exactly. Exactly. And,
but what is,
I doubt it since, Renfro and his crew are terrible at negotiating, we'll most likely get a raise of maybe all the way up to 85,000, if that, maybe 90, if that.
Who knows?
You know, it could be just that they couldn't come to terms and it may be nothing.
Well,
if it's nothing, then we may have to go on strike. We may have to do something.
We may. That is, it is part of our Constitution that if it eventually gets to that point and we can't come to an agreement, there could be a work action. Don't say the S word. There could be a job action or whatever.
Yes, job action.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, you know, again,
I said a strike of some kind.
Yeah. That's fine. Dude, it's not up to us anyway. Yeah. We're not saying, hey, let's go on strike.
No, let me be clear.
No.
It is illegal, by the way.
Yeah. And dude, with who's in the administration right now, I don't know how much clemencies would be given for people going out on strike, union members.
Renfro said that he's going to fight like hell on this one, right?
Yes, he did. So yeah, I want to talk about
at least
that.
Do what he says and actually fight like hell for us for once.
That's the problem. is, to me, reading that statement, it's a good statement. You know, I like what he says. I like the tone of, yeah, we're going to fight. The carriers deserve better.
But all I hear is bullshit.
Yep, that's the problem. Is, to me, writing a statement like that tells us that he knows what the right thing is. Mm-hmm. He's just not doing it.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, if he's saying that he's going to fight in like hell and the stuff that he's saying, he knows what the good country would have been.
Right.
And so that means he knows what it should have been, and he agrees with the post office on this BS contract. And so let's hope that he learned his lesson, because he knows in the next election, if it comes up, he knows that these many people will vote.
Right.
And they'll vote him out.
Dude, on that note, you know, there were agreements at the Boston Convention, some of the, what do you call it, proposals? What are those called?
Yeah,
proposals. They're not proposals. They're called... Resolutions. Yeah, resolutions were adopted in open bargaining that we want to see, like, what the history was. Yeah, the transparency, right? And one of them that I thought was super watered down was like, oh, we'll see it after the negotiation has ended. Well, the negotiation has ended. Where is this record of what happened? And on Next Generation Carriers, C. Moline was on there. And by the way, great episode. C. Moline is always a fantastic guest. She's been on here a couple of times as well. And she was talking about asking Renfro that question specifically. That, hey, we passed this resolution. Where's the information? And Renfro's chicken shit cop-out answer was, well, I'm giving it to you right now. Dude, that is not what was asked for in that resolution.
I'm sorry, that sounds just like somebody else I know here.
It does sound exactly like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we might as well transition over to that right now. So our branch passed a resolution at the last branch meeting. It has been almost a month since our last meeting. We got the new one coming up here in just a couple of days as we record this. And that resolution was the adoption of my appeal of the election, where I wanted a complete rerun of the election, including nominations and oversight from National. And so that was January 9th. And today's we record this is February 1st. Is that right? I think so.
February 4th.
No, today.
Oh, today.
It's February 1st. Yeah, yeah. And so it's been about a month.
31st, maybe?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, today's Saturday. Yeah, February 1st. All right. So anyway, the moral of the story is it's been about a month. And that's plenty of time to get this whole election process started and get the announcements going. And what has been done so far, Michael?
Doing everything impossible to not do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've been asking all the way back to the very meeting it happened, like, okay, what's our timetable look like? You know, when is this stuff all going to get done so we can get the new election going?
Just to give some people information is that when the election was done, and we found lots of election mishandling the election. And so we submitted to the election chair and election committee that we found all these things that happened. We'd like for it to be done. And our election committee, they voted to redo the whole election.
Right. Okay? That was the first appeal.
And then it was our branch president who filed an appeal.
Right.
And saying that that he wanted to appeal that decision.
Right.
But at the e-board or election, at the executive board meeting, they actually agreed to do the re-election, but not the whole election. They just didn't want to do the nominations.
Right. They wanted to skip the nomination process. Yeah.
And then that got appealed, that decision, so that we can have a full election. And we appealed it, and it went to the general meeting. And in the general meeting, we was voted 52 to 23. Yes.
Yep.
Something like that. And
no, it was exactly that.
and we won that vote. So basically, every decision after the election is saying that to redo the election.
Right.
Including our executive board says redo the election.
That's true.
Okay. Everybody else says redo the election. It's our union president is the one who doesn't want to redo the whole election.
Right.
Okay. He's the only one.
Yeah. And to your point, even he, in his appeal, said, yes, we need to redo the election. But now it's time to redo the election. And he ain't doing dick.
Yeah.
He's dragging his feet.
Yeah. Yeah. There was an agreement by even the executive board to redo the election.
Right.
Including now everybody else, you know, but Will the membership actually voted to redo the whole thing? That's including nomination.
Right.
What is he afraid of? Oh, maybe because he was messing with the election?
You know, it's a good question because he won by a pretty good margin in the first go-around.
All his slate
won
by approximately 200 votes.
Yeah, that's wild.
Every single one. So common denominator is 200 votes. How does that work?
So we know that a whole bunch of extra ballots were ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the election, our outgoing treasurer did an audit of all the election materials.
Mm-hmm.
About how many ballots were missing?
Over 200.
That's a wild coincidence. Now, we have no evidence of any ballot stuffing, any tampering. We do not have evidence of that. But man, it's a hell of a coincidence. Yeah. And it would help to explain why this good old boys are doing everything they possibly can to avoid answering questions about the election and to avoid rerunning the election.
Oh, talking about answering the question. So I filed a charge with 57 other votes to against
57 other members.
Against 57 other members to charge our election chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And saying that he didn't do his job, or at least be transparent to us, let us know what's going on.
Right.
And, well, that's been put in about October, I believe. And it's going to be February.
Yeah. And
so
still,
it's going to be
no questions answered.
4 months.
Yeah.
And they still have not done investigation. The rumor I hear is they got somebody that was not chosen before at the general meeting. And they did the investigation without even talking to any of us. So I hope that's not the case.
So wait. So the problem is the branch is not being transparent. Like I've written to our president asking very specifically, like, hey, what's going on with this? What steps have you taken, you know, to make sure this all gets done? He doesn't even respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to rely on the rumor mill to try to figure out what's going on with these investigations, which we're a part of. So if there's any investigating going on, they should be calling us and talking to us and getting our statements and letting us cross-examine.
Yeah. We filed the charges.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I filed the charges with 57 other members.
Yeah, technically, right. It was filed by you. And then we're also on the ass end of the other charges.
Right. And so if that's the case, why wouldn't they be asking us and interview us to find out why we're charging?
That's a great question.
So because from what I gathered from, you know, rumors, that they did the investigation, they're done with the investigation.
Dude,
how are they done with the investigation?
Yeah, in Article 10, it says that we have the right to cross-examine and, you know, ask our own questions. And and any witnesses, any evidence, we can examine it, we can cross-examine it. And when did that happen?
None whatsoever.
Yeah, the whole process.
They're trying to hide everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There is no transparency. And up until now, no accountability. And then when we try to bring accountability and file Article 10 charges, A, they've been delayed, and now B, they're not presented at all.
Yeah, they're trying to hide it at our general membership meeting now. They are doing everything they're possible to not do the re-election. The letters that was sent to some people and me, basically from the president of our branch, basically
saying...
Dude,
I'll read what he says, because I have them.
Okay.
Yeah, I went ahead and pulled these up. So... mind you, these are responses to people who are saying, like, hey, when's this election going to happen? What's the timeline? So one, he writes, no word. This is the whole response. No word on as to when Branch 2502 election process will begin or if it will begin. Dude, if it will begin?
Yeah. How about the one that I got from... the email.
I'll read that one next.
Okay.
So this one is written to Michael in response. This is from our branch president, word for word. This is the whole response. Michael's asking all these questions about the election. Well, when's it going to happen? What's the process? You know, all this stuff. Who's going to oversee it? And he writes, quote, the answers to your questions will be when Brian Renfro officially mails his answer to my letter. End quote. What the fuck is that? What letter is this? Why are we waiting on an answer to this letter? The branch has already spoken. What's the content of this letter? And how do we even know that he wrote a letter? How do we know that Renfro is supposed to respond?
Well, let me tell you the questions that I asked our branch president.
Yeah, I'm curious to know this too, actually.
And I said, our branch president, As you know, in the last general meeting, the will of the membership voted to redo the whole election and overseen by NLC National. What is your timetable on how to proceed with the election? And what has been done so far? When is the 45 days notice going out for nominations? And when is the nomination date? And when is the election night? And who is overseeing the election? Please provide the information as soon as possible, as all these issues are time sensitive.
Yeah.
Sincerely, me. Okay.
Dude, and those are good questions.
I think they're great questions.
And then go
questions.
Ahead, now that we have your questions in frame, and let's reread the response.
His answer, again, is the answers to your questions will be when Brian Renfro, of course he misspelled his name.
He did.
Officially mails his answers to my letter.
Yeah. What letter?
What letter?
So if it's an appeal to the branch's decision, there's a process for that. And that appeal is supposed to be presented in front of the branch, and then the branch is supposed to respond to it. So it can't be an appeal of the branch's decision, because we know what that process is. So what's in the letter? What could it be? How do we know he even wrote a letter? How do we know? I mean, I know I just asked these questions, but there's no trust here, obviously, at this point. We have no reason to trust. And so these are all questions that are going to have to come up at the next branch meeting.
So I wanted to also let you guys know is we did send a letter, me, Alan, and Jonathan. We sent a letter to Brian Renfro on what's going on with our election.
Right.
And we did get a letter back. But there is a one sentence that I wanted to talk to everybody about that Brian Renfro said. He basically said, I'm only hearing one side of story, so therefore there's nothing I can do, and you guys need to go follow the process of the election.
Right, and that's the problem, okay. Right? Which is what I talked about in my last episode about being in a rank-and-file union. We're doing the process. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We had our appeals at our branch, right? And that's mostly what that referred to.
So, I'm sorry, why would you not get the other side of the story?
Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It does seem relevant. Yeah. Well, dude, the reason is, now, because of all this shenanigans that have been going on, I've been reading a bunch of presidential rulings. And that kind of statement is very common in presidential rulings. Almost everyone is like, well, I don't know the whole story, but I'm going to make a ruling just on this issue of like interpretation. The reality is he's washing his hands of it, you know, and question after question after question is answered with, you have these processes in your branch and you need to use those.
But here's the thing. We've talked to NLRB people.
Yeah. The National Labor Relations Board.
RMRDA. We've talked
LMRDA. Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act.
And try to get
OLMS, the Office OLMS, of Labor Management Standards.
We've been trying to get information from them. All they've actually said is to follow the procedures, which right now we're at the last procedure, which is to have the national president make the decision. Okay. He has been completely silent. He has done hardly anything. I mean, it's of all the things that I hear from everybody when I was at the convention to what's going on currently and so forth, where he's not transparent, he's not doing his job, blah, 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 blah. All that BS that he heard from everybody, well, it's coming true.
Right, right. Yeah, it's substantiated.
Yeah, like he doesn't do anything. Oh, okay. Well, we tried to get him involved in this because... What I'm reading from everybody else, this is coming from everybody, okay, says that our President Renfro has to find out what's going on and he has to make the decision what to do.
Right. So again, in our own internal process, the branch has spoken. We've done everything we're supposed to do internally. Now, the local president is supposed to act on that.
Which
and he's not doing that. That's exactly right. And, you know, likewise, like you will see presidential, it's interesting to read these presidential rulings. Maybe I'll go through some of them on a future episode of Classes in Mail. That's my kind of material because I get to read it. I don't have to do a lot of prep. But people will say like, dude, my branch president's this big jerk. Can you please help me? And the answer will be, well, I don't have the whole story, but if you have a problem, you need to use your process and file Article 10 charges. And so we've done that. And now the people who are in the positions of authority within our branch are thwarting that process. So now what are we supposed to do?
Well, if Brian Renfro doesn't do anything, the only process we got left from what I gather is file charges against our union.
Right. Okay. With the with the Department of Labor.
And
we don't want to do that.
We don't really want to do that.
No.
Okay.
I don't want to do it just because I'm too lazy.
Well, and because we've done some. No, it's that we're not that lazy in the fact that we've done a lot of work.
Right.
We've done a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't want to add that additional work.
I know. We've done a lot of work. And it's not over. And it's by a long shot because we're looking at the election. Even if we get the 45-day notice.
Yeah, we still have campaigning to do.
Yeah, it won't be done until at least May right now.
Yeah.
That's the minimum, May. Right. It could be all the way up to July.
Yeah.
And
in the meantime, we're stuck with the officers voted in a tainted election.
Right.
Yeah.
We have the tainted elected officials in our union right now.
Right.
And who knows what they're doing while they're in there.
Dude.
Okay, because
they're
covering their tracks. And here's one thing that I really want people to come to the general meeting this February 4th, I believe.
February 5th.
February 5th at 7 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right.
I really want people to come down and ask the questions.
Right.
Did we pay for our election?
Oh, have we paid the printer yet?
Printing company.
Dude, that's such a good question.
Because they wanted that new treasurer to come in.
Right.
It's like so bad. That's the reason why they didn't want the nomination to happen.
That's so interesting.
And did he pay for it without getting membership's approval?
To give them the benefit of doubt that they don't deserve, it should not be paid because the branch has not approved that expense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, dude, it's a great question to ask. Right.
And so is this something that maybe we can call and find out?
I mean, you could always call the printing company and ask them, hey, have you guys been paid yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one time I talked to them, they weren't shy about talking to me, and they told me some pretty damning things about who ordered the ballots and what was ordered.
Well, who ordered it?
The branch president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he's running against me, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That's
so why is he messing with the election?
I believe that's called impropriety.
Okay, well, that's the charge I filed.
Yeah, the charge that the branch secretary...
So they can investigate to make sure what happened.
Exactly. Oh, dude, so I finally wrote my own letter. I talked to somebody high up at National who I have a contact with and asked the same questions that I asked on the podcast of like, dude, when this process internally is broken that I'm supposed to be using, where do I go? And I was told you got to go directly to Renfro. So I wrote that letter and we'll see. We'll see what happens. I asked for three things. I asked, number one, for the proper investigation to be done pursuant to Michael's and my Article 10 charges. Both ends of it. The ones that we're receiving and the ones that Michael filed. So that's one thing I asked for. And for the election chair to cooperate with the investigation. Because he has stonewalled every step of the way so far. So that was one. Another one was for... the current Article 10 charges to actually be served and processed and for our branch president to have to cooperate with that investigation. And then the third thing I asked for is for the election process to move forward. And, you know, in accordance with the will, the stated will of the branch.
All right. I wanted to go back to the charges.
Okay.
So the charges that I brought up, with 57 other people, which Ellen is included in
that. Yeah, I signed off on him.
And that charge...
And I wrote the charges.
And from what I... Yes, he did most of it. I just put my name on it.
Yeah.
And the main thing is that from the rumor that I hear is that if they did the investigation and whoever they picked...
Yeah, we don't even know.
Okay, they were not even, you know, picked with, you know, approval from the general membership because, yes, it's the president's...
He has the responsibility to pick
at the general meeting.
Right.
But if anybody has a problem with it, they can raise it and say, hey, look, that person is always been for this person, so we cannot agree with that person. We couldn't
fight against it. If you have been a regular listener lately to Classes of Mail, you know right away. Mm-hmm. What do you do if you don't agree with a decision that the president makes? You can file right there on the spot, Article 11. I'm going to make an appeal to the branch over your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if he makes that decision in secret...
Which he did.
Yeah.
This is what I'm hearing.
Well, dude, we're directly involved in it. We have no idea who it is.
Yeah, they won't even tell us who's doing the investigation.
Right.
So how does that work when somebody's doing an investigation, don't even talk to us, and then we hear that they're done with the investigation? How can they be done with the investigation without actually talking to the actual people.
Yeah, it would be nice to get any of this from the source. You know what? Yeah.
If anybody looks at the Constitution, it actually says that we can...
The NALC Constitution.
Yeah, that we can talk and question each other, right?
Right, the cross-examination. Cross-examination.
And just like, almost like a court, right?
Yeah. Right, it says like the normal rules of court don't need to apply, but you can cross-examine evidence and witnesses.
Right. Yep. I heard something called a kangaroo court. What is that?
A kangaroo court is something that gives the illusion of being a legitimate court, but they're not interested in justice.
Exactly. Yeah. I believe that's what's happening, because if the investigator doesn't even want to talk to us, when we are the one who filed the charges...
Right. Or the ones on the asset.
Or, or we're being charged and they're not even talking to us about it.
Right.
How can we talk and be about proving our innocence or why we're charging to our election chair and so forth?
Right.
How can we do any of that if they don't do any investigation?
That's a great question. And let me ask you, Michael, whose responsibility is it to make sure that the people in the branch do their job?
That is the sole responsibility of our branch president to make sure, the managerial duty is to make sure everything is done properly.
That is exactly right. Article 6, Section 1. Yep, of the NALC
More
Constitution.
More failures by our branch president.
Imagine that. Okay, we got anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
All right, I'm going to see if I can get that theme music going as an outro here.
All right.
All right. Turn this back on. And... All right. Yeah. Turn that up a little bit. Yeah, buddy. Guys, thank you very much for listening to Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax. On behalf of Michael Brazenly, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you all next time.